Poetry Rocks Tool 23, The Magpie. And the purpose of The Magpie is to grow as a writer by growing as a reader. And for a little background, I'll just say that in my opinion, growing as a writer happens most easily if you learn how to grow as a reader, to really let the writing that you read teach you how to write better and better. And I've always called this process reading like a writer, and I guess great minds think alike, because I came across a book for fiction writers called Reading Like a Writer, and it's actually written by a woman who has the wonderful name Francine Prose, and it has a lot to offer writers of all genres, including poets, so don't let the fact that it's written for fiction writers stop you from checking it out and enjoying it. Now, you may have already noticed that the Hone Your Craft exercises all throughout Poetry Rocks are all reading like a writer methods. Each of them has you looking at what writers are doing in their work to learn how to use that same component in your own work. And there are a lot of different ways to read like a writer that you've seen a lot of them already, and you can focus on any area. One thing that I love to do is I love to actually think of the things I find in other people's work as ingredients. And I sometimes like to make up recipes with these ingredients. And I find that thinking of this way really does stretch my writing. And I've had a lot of success with this as I've taught my students as well. Some of the things they've loved writing the most have been these recipes, and I have one here for you that you can practice if you like, and it's based on a poem by Barbara Crooker called Poem on a Line by Anne Sexton, We Are All Writing God's Poem. That's quite an interesting title, speaking of titles, as we've done earlier here. And you can see that Barbara Crooker herself has been learning how to write by reading like a writer, because clearly she's reading Anne Sexton and letting that inspire her. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out these ingredients for you that are all found in this particular poem, and there is a link to it so you can read the poem and it will make a lot of sense to you. And I also have the examples written right below the ingredients. So if you'd like to do this as a way of practicing reading like a writer, then you can go along and do this, or you can just look at this as a sample of making these ingredients. And here's what I found inside this poem by Barbara Crooker. One thing is a metaphor in the form of the blank is the blank blank of a blank. And the example I got from the poem is the skies, the soft blue of a work shirt, which I think is a beautiful way to put together a metaphor. It's a great use of figurative language. So you could try using an ingredient like that in any piece of writing that you have. And another example of an ingredient I found is an adage, a saying like, a rolling stone gathers no moss. And Crooker's poem has the line, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So if you've never tossed an adage into one of your pieces of writing, you could try that. And another is something you read or overheard. And in Crooker's poem, we find, on the interstate, listening to NPR, I heard a Hubble scientist say, the universe is not only stranger than we think, it's stranger than we can think. I happen to be a huge fan of throwing little pieces of dialogue into pieces of writing, poetry and prose, so I loved this example. And here's another quote from a famous writer, and in Crooker's poem, she quotes Li Po, there is no end of things in the heart. So that can be an ingredient. Another ingredient I love to throw into pieces of writing, both poetry and prose, are questions. And here's a question that appears in Crooker's poem. I pass a tractor trailer called Glory Bound, and aren't we just? I love that question. And I think it's kind of wonderful that there's a tractor trailer somewhere cruising the highways called Glory Bound. Maybe I'll see it someday. Who knows? Another thing, and we've talked about this already way back in the early tools, the content tools, but a list is a great thing to throw into a piece of writing, and whether it's poetry or prose. And Crooker has this list: vacation or childhood, relationships, stores going out of business. That's a very random kind of list, but it really works in the context of her poem. Another possible ingredient is a pure metaphor stating that something is something else. And there are lots of different ways to do this. And I love the way Crooker puts this one. The sky turns red violet, lavender, thistle, a box of spilled crayons. I love sunsets and sunrises so much, and I love this idea that the sky is a box of spilled crayons at those times. And then the last ingredient I pulled that you could use in a piece of your own writing is a personification, and we've talked about that before, where something non-human does a human thing, and the example in Crooker's poem is the moon spills its milk. So those are examples of ingredients that I pulled from one poem that could be used in any piece of writing that you may want to write, and those are examples of reading like a writer. You can do this for yourself. You can look at something you love and ask that question, how did that writer cause this great effect? And you can find these little ingredients and go, oh, that's really cool. And you can slip it right in your own version of it right into any piece of writing. Or you can actually take all of these ingredients that are listed here and weave them all into a piece of writing or a poem. And there's all different ways to play writing games. That is something that some people really enjoy doing, and you might want to just take a couple of them. It's completely up to you. And when you choose to read like a writer in this way, and even if you don't want to play with ingredients, just simply following the instructions in the Hone Your Craft exercises throughout Poetry Rocks, over time you're going to see growth in your ability. And to me, that's one of the best things about engaging in any kind of creative process, whatever it is. And I have a favorite question to ask about myself as a writer, and I love to share this with other people. And the question is, how good can I get? And I love focusing on this. I just think it's a wonderful question because we really don't know the answer to that. We really don't know if we really throw our hearts and minds into any kind of creative endeavor, how good we might get. So it's an inquiry we can keep exploring for the rest of our lives. And I really hope as we complete Poetry Rocks that you'll join me in asking this question of yourself. And now what to do for the magpie is to gather ingredients that you find in poems that you love and use them to create your own poem. And I've already been talking about this as I went over the background and showed you how I've done this with a particular piece of writing. You can do this informally. You can go ahead and use those ingredients from Crooker's poem above and create a poem with as many or as few of those as you like. Or you can use the ingredients that I use to make my example poem. And this is a little exercise. It's, again, a list of ingredients from a book called The Practice of Poetry. And this is an exercise by the poet Jim Zimmerman called 20 Little Poetry Projects. And I'm going to read these out for you. I had a wonderful time taking these 20 ingredients and turning them into a poem. And the poem that I wrote using this actually won an award, and I was very happy about that. It got an honorable mention in a writing contest and was accepted in an anthology, and it actually inspired the title poem of the book that is coming out in October of 2014, 10,000 Cicadas Can't Be Wrong. And I know I would never have come up with this poem if I hadn't used this particular exercise, so I'm very grateful for it. When I read the poem, I'm not gonna do anything but read the poem, and I wouldn't try to tell you which of the things in the poem are each of the ingredients. They're not in order, but I did mark them for those of you who may be interested in looking to see how these different pieces fit in. They're all numbered inside the poem, so you could check that out. So here are the 20 things. Number one is to begin the poem with a metaphor. Number two is to say something specific but utterly preposterous. That was a whole lot of fun to do that. Number three, use at least one image for each of the five senses, either in succession or scattered randomly throughout the poem. Number four was to use one example of synesthesia, which is mixing the senses. Number five was to use the proper person of a name and the proper name of a place. Number six was to contradict something you said earlier in the poem. Number seven was to change direction or digress from the last thing you said. Number eight was to use a word, preferably slang, you've never seen in a poem. Number nine is to use an example of false cause-effect logic. Number 10 is to use a piece of talk you've actually heard, preferably dialect and or which you don't understand. Number 11, create a metaphor using the following construction, the adjective, concrete noun of, abstract noun. Very similar to the metaphor construction I gave you for Crooker's poem, actually. Number 12, use an image in such a way as to reverse its usual associative qualities. Number 13, make the persona or character in the poem do something he, she could not do in real life. Number 14, refer to yourself by nickname and in the third person. Number 15, write in the future tense such that part of the poem seems to be a prediction. Number 16, modify a noun with an unlikely adjective. 17, make a declarative assertion that sounds convincing, but that finally makes no sense. Number 18, use a phrase from a language other than English. Number 19, make a non-human object say or do something human, and you know that's personification. And number 20, close the poem with a vivid image that makes no statement, but that echoes an image from earlier in the poem. And, you know, that, what a list, right? Those are things that I would not have ever come up with on my own, at least many of them. And it was really an interesting challenge to just sit down and see what happened when I assembled this poem. And here it comes. It's called 10,000 Cicadas Can't Be Wrong. Summer sings sweet songs for her supper, but her golden slippers aren't for sale. Not unless you happen upon some celestial bargain basement of goodly delights. There, nearly hidden under last year's turquoise silk sky, raspberries ripen rampant as the mourning dove's plump notes whir, winged into basil-drenched dreams. All this, and watermelon too, and fireflies, and the daylilies from your mother's last garden, double-headed. Just don't forget there are chiggers, and mosquitoes, of course, and that heat everyone speaks of, muggy, tasting of mildewed shower shoes, sounding for all the world like kudzu unfurling in Jackson, Mississippi, where Janis Joplin might have sung supper songs of her own. I don't know. I've never been there. I do know freedom's not just another word for nothing left to lose, and that you'll never find that bargain basement, no matter how long you look. Listen, 10,000 cicadas can't be wrong. Anybody knows larvae never lie, not as long as persimmons pucker and peaches procrastinate. Lollygag, if you must, whenever the tomatoes lean, but remember that the persnickety bookie of guilt and doubt is keeping score. You can't hide, but you can run. You can steal the chiggers right out from under the blackberries. You can rob the raspberries in bruised homage to the summer afternoon. The two most beautiful words in the English language, according to Henry James, whose afternoons are elsewhere now. Tu connais Uncle Death? Ce personne qui parle demain? No worries. Aunt Morning will waltz willfully, wanton beyond noon, yea, and onward, well past dusk, in Sister Summer's silver slippers, the ones deep in her closet that she seldom thinks to wear. That was actually a lot of fun to write, so it pushed me way beyond what I normally do in poems, and I highly recommend that, actually. Just get you way out of your comfort zone as we complete our last tool here. So anyway, it's been wonderful to have a chance to be with you and share poems and have this conversation. And for your last reflection, what have you learned during Poetry Rocks about reading like a writer? And more importantly, what plan will you put in place to continue to grow as a writer? And for your last, hone your craft. When you read something you wish you'd written, become a scientist. Get out your literary microscope and examine each word, phrase, line, sentence. How was it put together? What is it made of? And yes, of course, do this with prose too. Look for all the permutations of what poetry is made of as you read. Whenever a poem or any part of it pleases you, ask the question, how did the poet do that? Emulate and experiment. And to do this more formally, you can name what you find in others' poetry and or prose as ingredients, the way I've talked about here in this tool, and then take those ingredients and use them in your own poetry and prose. Have a wonderful time.